You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back to the second hour. The program is live, and we will get back to the calls. A number of guests will be joining us. We have David Ubben during Hour Number 1, covers UT for The Athletic. Stetson is up next. Hello, Stetson.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to commend you on the coverage that you've had on this Tennessee program. The entire news media should take notes on how you do journalism. You cover it honestly, you cover it frankly, and you have dived into every aspect of it that you could possibly find. And as a viewer, I just want to say thank you for your coverage of it.
Thank you for the kind words, Stetson. We all appreciate it.
Yeah. I've got a perplexed kind of mind here, like I guess everybody does. I'm a huge Philip Fulmer fan. I just think he is like college football. He could be the face of college football to me. I just think he's one of those kind of guys that is just a salt of the earth kind of guy that I don't think would do something wrong. And with all this that's going on, there's no way that he wouldn't have known about it if it was real. It's almost like there's something funny going on here.
Yeah, I do think you're right about that, Stetson. We don't know very much. We think we know a little bit, and it just seems like the reason this came
go ahead. Is kind of falling off the cliff trying to do the honest thing. And I'm almost of the opinion, and it's nothing but speculation, that there is something behind it pushing her. Why would they get basically an attack dog law firm to make their university look bad? I mean, they could make Paul Feinbaum look like the son of Sam.
Stetson, I know this law firm very well, and I know the lawyer involved, and these people normally will defend you to the nth degree, meaning they won't acknowledge anything. That's how defense firms work. And they make you prove, and that's why this is so interesting, why the university president, not the president, one thing about Tennessee, the chancellor runs the Knoxville campus. The president is over the entire system, which includes campuses in, I think, Chattanooga and Martin, maybe not Chattanooga, I can't remember. I've been gone from Tennessee too long, the medical school. So, you know, why did she say what she did? That I'm as intrigued by that. And I don't want anyone to think that we're encouraging nefarious activity, although being a journalist for as long as I have, I come to expect it. And I am not convinced that what Jeremy Pruitt is accused of differentiates that program from others. The only differentiation is they got caught. Now, why did they get caught is my question.
And with this secret person mm-hmm. that informed them all.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
I will tell you this, Stetson. I'm not an investigative reporter anymore. It takes a lot of time and effort. But I am going to tell you this: to find a whistleblower in a college football program is very difficult. I can assure you. I have looked. I have occasionally found them in my former life, but these days that is hard to do. And, you know, for someone to go against the grain here either takes a lot of courage or quite a vindictive nature that was helped and assisted and aided and abetted.
Well, I encourage you to keep on it. As a viewer, I am intrigued by it. I love your coverage of it. And I would love to know, like everybody, the truth of what is.
Well, I think ultimately we will get there. And I'm not on a crusade about Jeremy Pruitt. I've been pretty vocal on the last couple of months, what a poor job I thought he was doing. But, you know, a statement from his attorney doesn't really represent his side of the story. Someone was out to get him, and someone was out to get him for a reason. That, by the way, that does not justify illegality. And I'm not trying to be a cynic and saying, oh, they all cheat. They all don't cheat. But when we find out more about this, I think some of this will become crystallized. Anyway, back to the phones. Appreciate your call very, very much. And let's check in with Smitty, who is also in Florida. Hey, Smitty.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. I have two very quick comments about the UT situation. I mentioned before that I saw my first game there in 1940. The first is a very serious statement. Your previous caller overlooked the fact that the chancellor included Coach Fulmer in her remarks that he agreed with everything she was doing. And once again, old self-serving Fulmer has escaped just got out of town just before the sheriff. That's my first statement, and well, good riddance. The second one is about the coach's search. I have a suggestion for the administration. I'm sure that the high-powered, high-paid agents and the high-powered search people are all converging on Knoxville to search the globe for another football coach for UT. But I would suggest that they look under their nose. One other time, university was kind of in this position. They were kind of short of money and needed a football coach. And so they looked around, and down in the ROTC department, they found a young lieutenant, an Army lieutenant who was an instructor in ROTC, who had played football at West Point. And so he agreed to temporarily at the time to coach the team as a sideline. And it worked out pretty well. His name was Bob Nealon. So I would suggest that they look right under their nose. Thanks a lot for listening, and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on. And David is up next. Hey, David, welcome to our show. David, you there? Don't hear David, so we'll try Richard, who is in Mississippi on this afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. Hey, Richard.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Paul, I've got to wonder about this. You know, all of us talking about the Jeremy Pruitt deal. I've wondered for a long time. I'm an Ole Miss guy. You know, we went through the same problems, or not the same problems, but very similar, obviously, not too long ago. What do you think causes a coach, other than the pressures of winning, to go out on a limb knowing that sooner or later that something bad could happen to this? Is it the pressures of the boosters, or is it the whole administration, the state? What causes a coach, in your opinion, to just go out on a limb knowing that he's challenging the NCAA, and sooner or later something could come up that is detrimental to everyone?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't think coaches just flat out cheat in the sense of leaving bags of money outside players' homes, but there is a lot of skirting around the rules, and I think there is a sense among coaches that you have, if the speed limit's 65, the only way to get a player is to go 75, and if you think you see the police anywhere near, put the brakes on as fast as possible. You have to push the limit. And by pushing the limit, that means aggressive recruiting. That means, you know, finding an edge, and I mean any edge. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Nick Sabans of the world don't have to do this, or the Kirby Smarts. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't follow recruiting that closely. I do know that you do have to be as aggressive as you can, and you don't stop and think, well, maybe I'll get caught on this ticky-tack violation, because I think in the end, I don't think you really think of them as serious violations, especially when you're trying to catch up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, I get that. I've also wondered, coaches' salaries over the past whatever how many years has just went through the roof. They're astronomical coaches. And I'm wondering if the buyouts doesn't make them braver than it would if they didn't have these massive buyouts.
I think you're right. There's one other aspect of this, Richard, and I think the general feeling is that the NCAA is made up of a bunch of incompetent, inept clowns, and that they couldn't catch me running a stop sign if they were standing at the stop sign. That's how bad they are. Most schools only, you always hear the chancellor, the second we were aware of this, we self-reported, and then the NCAA praises the school for their cooperation. That's only after they got caught. Very few people call the NCAA and say, hey, by the way, we may have committed a violation here. Usually the coaches are running as fast as they can. And a lot of times, and I think this may be the case here, you began to have a conflict between Jeremy Pruitt and his people and the compliance folks. From what I've been told, Jeremy Pruitt did not treat people well. And I think that is ultimately his undoing, is that he may have ticked off a staff member. He may have berated one person too often. He may have berated a compliance officer. And ultimately, these people can only take so much. I've seen it firsthand. And the war between compliance and athletics can be fierce. I know that sounds strange that everybody's supposed to work together, but these are very competitive people, and they're paid a lot of money to be successful. We'll be back with much more. Hope you'll stick around. Philip Stutz will join us in a moment. He'll give us the latest on Congress and where the name, image, and likeness situation is going to be. Philip is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Always great to catch up with our friend Philip Stutz, who has done a lot of things in his life, from political consulting to media consulting to social media expertise. And he's also become our expert on the name, image, and likeness conundrum. We are in a new year, in case you missed the New Year's Day, and Philip rejoins the program. Philip, thank you very much for the time. And with Congress back in Washington, things a little bit different than the last time we talked to you. Give us the latest on where NIL is.
So we are in unprecedented times and division of partisanship, but only one entity could bring Democrats and Republicans together in this moment, and that's the NCAA. And so their choice to punt last week at their national meeting on name, image, and likeness has really brought both sides of the NIL argument on the Republican and Democratic side together. The question is, what are the next steps? How will the new administration and the new Congress look at this? And I'm happy to kind of unravel all that for you as well.
Yeah, and I would imagine not many people have missed the fact that Congress, the Senate is deadlocked 50-50, which tilts toward the Democrats with the new administration coming in tomorrow. Congress, the House is slightly in favor of the Democrats. Does any of that matter?
Well, it does, because previously the NCAA was looking at working with more of a Republican-minded Congress, whether that be in the Senate or the House. Now that there's a 50-50 tie, and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris is going to be the decision maker if it's a tie. And she has sort of backed the Democrats' bill. This is Cory Booker and Richard Blumenthal, the U.S. senators, have a bill that's much more expansive than the NCAA ever wanted to have out there. And now with this new leadership in place, that looks like there's going to be some compromise between the Republican bill that only sticks to allowing athletes to make their money on name, image, and likeness alone, and the Democratic bill, which allows sort of a collective of making money, let's say, on budget revenue profits, long-term health care plans for athletes, some of these big, expansive, sort of bigger government programs. And ultimately what's going to happen is, I believe, everybody's going to come together and figure out some kind of compromise. They have to do this by July 1, because Florida has already enacted a NIL bill for their own state. So they're going to have a massive recruiting advantage, any college in the state of Florida, if there is not a one standard national bill passed that the NCAA backs.
So, Philip, what else is out there other than Congress in terms of state houses?
Well, there's been lots of bills passed, but most of them have three-year windows on them, so they wouldn't go into effect until about 2023. Florida is the key, because Florida's bill said that passed, the law that passed said July 1, 2021. So this is sort of a deadline that nobody can get around. And, you know, ultimately, I keep coming back to this, Paul, Congress is going to come together. The Biden administration will probably back what the Democrats and the Republicans are putting forward. I know Kamala Harris is, like I said earlier, back to the Democratic bill. And so there will be some kind of coming together between Congress on this. This is weird, because Congress wanted the NCAA to lead and they did not. So now they're coming in and saying, all right, well, we're going to do it, and you're going to live with what we come up with. And so ultimately, that's where we get. But for me, Paul, it almost feels like that's the checker play. And the chess play is, if everything passes, if an NIL bill gets passed, something that everybody agrees on in Congress, what does that mean for college football, SEC football, come next fall and beyond? And I think this is where it gets super interesting. These are what I'd call second and third order consequences. And for instance, if an NIL bill passes and now all the colleges have to, you know, enact this within their institutions, think about the advantage that national college football brands have over a state football brand. For example, an Ohio State, an Alabama, an Oklahoma, even a USC in the Pac-12, they would have massive advantages in recruiting five-star athletes to their universities, because they can say, we have a national brand. You're not going to just send an autograph deal with a local car company. So universities like Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Wichita State, like these smaller schools, are going to have an inherent disadvantage with whatever passes Congress and is ratified by the NCAA. And you could even look at Tennessee right now. When you've got universities like Alabama and Clemson, who have spent over 2 years preparing for NIL to come into place and have the resources to recruit athletes and say, you're going to be part of a national brand. And then you look at Tennessee, which is going through NCAA troubles, coaching troubles, all of these deficiencies for them. What athlete is going to say, well, it's best for me to go to Tennessee because, you know, I'm going to make more money there than I would at Alabama or Clemson. That's just not going to happen. And so the brands, the national football brands that are powerful right now are going to get even more powerful as I see it going forward.
Yeah, and Philip, I mean, we're a week away from Alabama winning the national title, where everyone, you know, is suggesting break up the Yankees, so to speak. And, you know, the more you're in the playoffs, the better it is in recruiting. And you're clearly stating that the rich are only going to get richer. what is the little guy supposed to do?
Well, you know, the short-term play, what you see on Twitter right now, is expand the playoffs. But if you only have 10 big-time national brand football teams under the NIL agreement that will eventually pass, then an 18 playoff means really only 10, maybe 12 teams will be really in play for that, because they are able to recruit the better players better than anybody else. And so, you know, we've seen this with COVID, especially on the economy, where you see the Amazons, the Apples, the Facebooks, the Googles have exploded. They're almost oligarch companies now. And in a way, you could see that absolutely happening with college football going forward under the new NIL agreement that'll eventually get passed in whatever form it looks like.
And let me go back to that, away from NIL for a second, because we had you on quite a few times during the early days of the pandemic, and you know, you had some fascinating things to say to people. We're not out of it yet, although sometimes we act like we are, but I think we at least see the end in sight. How will things be different as we move from the winter to spring and ultimately summer, and hopefully have a normal fall?
So we've looked at this. We've looked at the American consumer and our database. We have 200 million plus American consumers. We're monitoring 550 million connected devices, 10 billion online purchasing decisions every day, and a trillion searches. And everything in our data tells us that the American people right now are convinced that by June of 2021, the vaccine will have been distributed to enough people and we can begin going back to normal with our lives. That includes attending sporting events and having a more normal economy. And that, while that's a very hopeful outlook, and I think most of the consumers looking at this right now are just praying that that's what it is, we have yet to see. There are certain factors that we know would impede that. If the new Biden administration has a harder time rolling out the vaccine, that's going to slow down that we're going to get back to normal process, right? There's more civil unrest or a massive collapse in the stock market. These are all things that could impede sort of that June 2021 outlook that so many consumers are hoping for and really pinning all of their hopes on, that really being the kickoff to us starting to get back to normal again.
Philip Stutz, the latest on NIL and a look ahead to where we are as a society. And, of course, tomorrow, the Inauguration Day. By the way, we haven't talked since a former SEC head coach is now sitting in the halls of Congress. Can we expect major change in relation to sports from Senator Tuberville?
Well, TBD, as long as he does not throw out the thumb, I think we'll be okay.
Philip, who spent a lot of his early days not only working in the White House, but consulting political candidates, so we always try to get a sports tie-in, and he is our only connection right now to the United States Senate. Thank you for the time, as always, Philip. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
You got it. Great stuff from Philip Stutz. We will take a break. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Pat Forty in the next hour on The Mess on Rocky Top. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Cat Daddy is first up. Hello, Cat Daddy.
You're looking good, sounding good, Mr. Feinbaum. I got a big news coming out of Knoxville. It's going to knock your socks off. But first, I have to ask you a question. Have you ever been invited to the NCAA to speak to them at a luncheon or something?
Never.
Would you go if they asked you?
Probably, yes.
All right, here's the breaking news out of Knoxville. Everybody hold on. Smokey has entered the transfer portal.
Smokey wants out badly.
I hate that. You know, I hate that for Tennessee, because, you know, my wife is from Memphis, and her daddy was a big Tennessee fan. He pulled for Memphis State back when it was Memphis State.
Oh, yeah.
But I really hate it for the Tennessee folks, and I hope they come out smelling like a rose and this thing's all over and everything. So, but I know how it feels. We've been through that over here in Carolina. And hang in there. It can only get better.
Cat Daddy, you stay well. Thank you very much. And Lee is up next in Seattle. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Palm. How are you?
Lee, we're doing great. I hope you are.
Oh, I am. Thank you. Real quick on this last interview you had. I mean, call me naive, but I just think Congress has so many more important things to do than to deal with this, especially right now. But, you know, is that just normal that they get involved?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, yeah, I mean, the school always has jurisdiction, but what I saw yesterday is somewhat unusual.
Okay. Regarding the press conference yesterday, I found it incredibly annoying. I thought the chancellor was very condescending, and it
in what
felt
way?
Like Fulmer. Pardon me?
In what way was she condescending?
I felt like she just thinks that sports is just kind of an annoyance.
Let me state that that is not an unusual reaction from a certain wing of academia, but I think she may have been justified in the sense that these things happened on her watch and she is ultimately responsible. That's why you saw the outrage. Now, should she have been better prepared for that news conference? Yeah, I think anyone watching could come to that conclusion. You had different agendas from people. The president was there to say what presidents say and to make sure that we all appreciated Coach Fulmer. The chancellor was there for moral outrage, and I'm not sure what Fulmer was doing there, because you could tell he was reading a prepared statement saying that it was his decision to leave, when I don't think there are too many people that believe that. Do you?
No, I don't. And he looked so terribly uncomfortable. He looked like he was about ready to pop out of his skin.
And he was still defending the culture of the guy that they had just gotten through firing by saying, yeah, you know, he did a lot of good things. We have a lot of good athletes here. I understand all that, and in a very narrow sense, it is true. However, it came off tone deaf right after the chancellor had fed Jeremy Pruitt to the wolves.
Exactly, and I think he is being thrown to the wolves because this happens. This happened in every college sport, you know, forever. And I don't know, she's, you know, trying to make a bigger deal out of it. Like you said, like, she's surprised that this really happens. I felt really badly for Fulmer. My question, however, though, is, so this basically has to do with recruiting, and there are obviously players involved, okay?
Yes.
Right? So let's say that they find that these coaches and everybody were guilty of something. One of my problems has always been is then this, I don't know what would happen with Jeremy Pruitt as far as, you know, on a personal, if he's fined or never coaches again. But then the school is then, you know, punished for bowls or whatever. I've always thought that if they started holding these players responsible, like somehow kept them.
But Lee, let's just say for the sake of argument that money was stashed in some entity and it was given to a player. What is a player supposed to do?
We're also
talking about 17-year-olds. At 17, if somebody gave me money, I would take it.
But they know it's wrong.
No, they don't.
Okay, but they know it's wrong.
Lee, come on. Let's be real here. They're 17 years old. They know that their friends are getting something to go somewhere else. And when I was 17, I didn't have $100 to my name. And if somebody had offered me $10 and a Big Mac, I would have grabbed it.
Okay, all right, I hear you. But play with this for a minute. If somehow it came down that the player, if found guilty of taking this, whether he knew it was wrong or not, if they got somehow punished about not being able to go into the NFL for a year or whatever
it was. I don't mean to be irritable here, but I mean you're talking about stuff that's not a reality. I mean, you can sanction players to a degree, depending on the severity, and there are certain situations where the penalty could last, but you better have something egregious. And a lot of times, if a player takes money from a school, they may not let him go to that school. And as long as he gives it back, they may find a way to look past it. I mean, I'm not coming off here as being blind, but 17-year-olds are young and vulnerable and gullible. The adults are the ones who should be punished, not the players. So let's quit throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. And Pat 40 coming up in a few minutes. More on the Tennessee situation. And Mike is up next in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
How are you, sir? So I'd like to just comment on the shadow staff or off-the-field staff. The way I understand the NCAA rules, they're there to support analytically to the on-the-field staff, and they cannot have any direct contact with the players, whether at practice or at the games. So unless there's a clone, not to sound smart, that sure has looked like Butch Jones on the sidelines every time, during that Bama game, coaching players up and everything. So I'd like your comments on, how everybody just gives us a wink and a nod, and let's move on. Nothing to see here.
Well, I mean, Mike, what about that don't you like?
Well, here's the rule. There's a rule. I mean, I think we can agree to this, Paul, correct? There is an NCAA rule.
Okay.
It's on rule. That prohibits direct contact with what we'll call the shadow staff or the off the field.
No, I understand that, so you're saying that Butch Jones, who was an analyst at Alabama, by him patting Devontae Smith after a touchdown, it constitutes anything more than that?
Paul, that's your example. My example is talking to the quarterback and coaching him up when he comes off the field. I mean, there was a couple of times, I think, Kerb Street in the first half made a comment. There's Butch Jones and, I use the word discussing or coaching up when he came off the field. That's much different than hugging. I'm talking about, the old saying, the tape doesn't lie.
I'm not suggesting it does. I think there is a difference between, having the quarterback come over before a fourth down play and discussing the play than saying, hey, great. I mean, I have no earthly idea what Butch Jones would have said or if that would have even helped had Butch Jones offered advice based on his last couple of years at Tennessee. But I understand where you're coming from.
Okay. All right. I was just saying, though, so I'm kind of right. Everybody just goes, move on. There's a rule. So this is one of those times, why have the rule? Isn't this what Rich Rodriguez got so much trouble for in Michigan a few years ago, was quote-unquote having the off-the-field staff working to practice?
Yeah. I mean, that is a serious allegation, and it has cost a lot of programs heartburn. But I think the whole analyst conversation is for another day. I think a lot of people don't like the fact that Alabama – By the way, I think Alabama's on the verge of hiring its Doug Marrone from Jacksonville, which will mark the second NFL head coach from last year on its staff as an assistant if the O'Brien thing goes through. Let's check in with James in Tennessee. You are on the air. Hello, James.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I called you last Friday. I don't know if you remember. You remember the first thing that I asked you?
I don't.
Did you think Philip Fulmer was involved?
Oh, right, yeah.
That's what's going on.
Right.
The more I thought about this, and this is what I think about the press conference there yesterday. Do you think Fulmer had it going through his mind that in 08 they fired and let him go and they shouldn't do it the same way? Even though the investigation, everything's not over with,
I have not spoken to Philip Fulmer in a couple of months, but if I had to guess, Philip Fulmer sees this through a coaching prism, and he doesn't see it through a university academic prism. And I also think he was still going through a bit of a difficult time. I mean, he had to go out there in front of live cameras and make it look like it was his idea to step down when you and I both know that he had every intention of being the athletic director and see through Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt was his coach. That's how he was going to be judged as an athletic director. And he ended up getting pushed out just like he did 13 years ago, or whatever it was, 12 years ago.
Well, Pruitt's record was what, 16-19, 14-19, or something like that?
16-19, yes.
Do you think that the inside source that has been telling stuff on for it here last month or so, do you think that certain someone is in with the athletic department or what? And you said there earlier about Pruitt not wanting any help and stubbornness and all the stuff like that in my mouth. I've heard stories back when Billy was up here at UT and him, Saban, and a couple of more, they was out coaching, and they had a mouth like a sailor. Is that basically what you're saying, Pruitt is a mouth like that, or what?
Well, James, I don't really know, other than it is my belief that it came from inside. I think it had to have, just to because these things are hard to corroborate, and it seems like if the chancellor would not have said what she said yesterday, had they not felt like they had incontrovertible evidence against Jeremy Pruitt.
Do you think at the end of all of this is done, you think Pruitt will be okay, or you think he's done for a while?
I think it's going to depend on how good a lawyer he has. I know one thing. I would fight this pretty hard. I would scream from the loudest mountain top about what, I wouldn't just issue a statement. And I would scare Tennessee to death if I happened to. I'm not representing Jeremy Pruitt, but I know what I would do. I would be on every show in America screaming that my client was a victim of a cabal, and keep screaming until they pay me to shut up.
I'd be the same way. All right, Paul, have a good day.
Thank you, James. I wish I knew more of the answer. And the one thing we don't. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt also has a battle with the NCAA, and he hasn't been helped at all by the fact that the university sold him out. He has to try to avoid getting a show cause. Now, one thing, don't forget, Dan Mullen has a show cause, and nobody's talking about that. So he's still coaching at the University of Florida. We'll take a break. Just think about how Florida handled that, which is a serious allegation, which is a serious claim, versus the way Tennessee handled it yesterday. We'll be right back.